back and said we would get, have staff come back, give us some feedback on the items we've heard or not.
Are there any particular items you'd like to highlight for a response?
I mean, one is, they raised before the noon break, the discussions with Caltrans and see if we've been able to close that gap or if we have an understanding of what some of the issues identified by them may be.
I did have a chance to discuss this issue with Caltrans during the break. My name is John Short, by the way. I didn't get sworn in this morning, but I swear to tell the truth. And I think we now have a better understanding of their concerns, and I think they now realize that this exemption is important for them to continue some of their processes like slope dewatering and other activities that occur year-round. We agreed to meet after this hearing to iron out some of the special cases where they might have difficulty in meeting water quality objectives with some of their discharges, such as when they uncover naturally occurring high-level pollutants in groundwater. And we think we can come to some resolution on these issues. So it's my understanding they're not objecting to adoption of today's basin plan amendment.
Got a signal there agreeing to that. So Mr. Massey?
The big concern that many people have is the CEC stuff, constituents of emerging contaminants. We have a state scientific board going, as I understand it, which do we have an idea when they're going to come up with a conclusion, if that's what they really do?
I've heard they have been meeting, as Dave Smith mentioned yesterday. I don't know if there's a timeline in the state recycled water policy for them to come up with some recommendations, but I know it is fast-tracked, and we should hear some recommendations soon.
Assuming that they come up with some conclusions, I would assume, but I want to make sure that it is the case, excuse me, that if they find some constituent that heretofore we were unaware of as having a major impact or a cumulative impact, that because this is part of the basin plan, that we can immediately reopen this and change for that particular problem, correct?
I expect if they come up with some pollutant that needs some lower limit or needs a limit established, we will open up the wastewater permit for the city of Santa Rosa and other producers of recycled water and ask them to control that pollutant of concern.
I have the policy, recycled water policy, and I see here that it says the panel shall review. So this is after the state board puts in place the blue ribbon panel. Their direction is the panel shall review the scientific literature and with 1 year from its appointment submit a report to the state board and the Department of Public Health describing the current state of scientific knowledge regarding the risk of emerging constituents to public health and the environment. And then within 6 months of receipt of the panel's report, the state board, in coordination with the California Department of Public Health, shall hold a public hearing to consider recommendations from staff and shall endorse the recommendations as appropriate after making necessary modifications. And then the panel or similarly constituted panel shall update this report every 5 years. So they have in place a process by which they'll be making recommendations, and then those recommendations, I assume, will be in the form of a resolution or something, some sort of guidance for the regional boards.
At which point we can make changes as necessary.
Yes.
Thank you.
One other point with the recycled water policy is that it does require the regional boards, it says under streamlined permitting, that the regional board shall, absent unusual circumstances, permit recycled water projects that meet criteria set forth in this policy consistent with the provisions of this paragraph. So in terms of the recycled water issue, I think the state board has already essentially settled that issue of whether to permit or not to permit.
Any other board comments, questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norn.
Can I ask staff a couple things? Many of the comments and many of the public comments that were in the written comments were really about incidental runoff. And so from the standpoint now under a reclamation permit and BMPs that are in place for that, can you shed light on how it is now that we do allow reuse of this water? We obviously do. It's happening now and to a great degree. And can you shed light on what is a reclamation permit have in it and BMPs that are in place to handle this piece of incidental runoff?
What we currently have are master water recycling permits for the major producers of recycled water, so the City of Santa Rosa, City of Windsor, Forestville, Graydon. Those permits require that the producer of the recycled water oversee its application wherever it's applied, whether it's ag land, urban land, City of Rona Park. The producer is responsible for all that. through this amendment, we're recognizing that in some cases, even with the best BMPs, there's going to be incidental runoff. And we're by saying that it's not a violation if all the BMPs are applied, we're gaining partnerships with the MS4 entities, the stormwater entities where this water runs off into, to have them also out there looking to make sure that this runoff doesn't happen. So we're in some ways, it's not up to us anymore to oversee all these applications. We're using the stormwater entities, water purveyors, and others to all work together to make sure that incidental runoff is minimized.
So, John, is there BMPs in place now under a reclamation permit?
There are BMPs in place, mostly in regards to Title 22, so purple pipe, signage, application rates. The BMPs that we will gain under this amendment are more inspections by the MS4s, a transparent public complaint response program through the MS4 permit, having the MS4s look at the outfalls to see if there are cumulative effects from a lot of instances of incidental runoff. So that's what we don't have in place now that we will gain through this amendment.
Also, from the standpoint of discharges here, there's two ends of the spectrum. Well, there's two categories. There's the incidental runoff part of things, and then there's all these others that are intentional with permit, with a notice of intent, and with the study that is needed in the notice of intent support. Has staff quantified what kind of quantities of water we're talking about under either of those categories? Probably the wastewater side is probably easier, I would imagine, but under either one of these, how much water are we talking about?
That's a good question. Actually, I think it's probably easier to quantify under the low threat permit because folks come to us ahead of time. They tell us they're going to need to drain a water tank, and this is how much water they have to deal with. And so we do have been issuing permits for those folks, so we do have a record of what's out there that have been permitted in the past under our current low threat permit. Incidental runoff, I don't know if we can quantify how much.
I'm sure we couldn't. But do you feel that this is a fair amount of water? I mean, that we are potentially going to bring under regulatory umbrella from the intentional side anyway, understanding that incidental runoff is not a really a planned event. In fact, that's probably the last thing you do want.
I think through our low-threat permit, we'll be able to quantify, we'll be able to apply new BMPs, as Kathy will explain in the low-threat permit. We'll be able to make sure there's not cumulative effects from a lot of discharges occurring at the same time. So I think we'll have a much better handle on the planned discharges through this process.
One last question, and I'll stop. From the standpoint of the length of permit, Caltrans is actually a good example in that they could have an ongoing discharge from, say, dewatering a hillside to maintain slope stability. On permits that are of that nature, do we put a time frame on those permits? A lot of our permits are time-oriented and reopened after a certain period of time under a low-threat permit. Would we have a time period? Because I don't recall seeing that in any of these.
Because Caltrans is an MS4 entity, they will be covered under their stormwater permit. So all these incidental discharges on Caltrans property will be covered under their statewide stormwater permit, which is renewed every 5 years.
And if somebody were not a MS4, say industry came to water board staff and said, I want to do this, it's a long-term project, and here it is?
There is no, well, I take that back. There is a five-year expiration date for our low-threat permit, so that will be revisited every 5 years, but theoretically they can get coverage for 5 years.
Okay. Thank you.
And is it the thought that there'll be generic in an application? I'm planning to do this type of project, and when I do those types of projects, I'll do these kinds of things, or do you expect that they'll be coming in for a specific project at this location during this time frame?
I think it depends on the type of discharge. I think water supply purveyors, Sonoma County Water Agency, for instance, they might have a set of routine BMPs that they will apply for when they maintain their water system. And once they tell us what BMPs they'll be using, we'll say go forth and do whatever maintenance you need to do and implement these BMPs, and that'll be fine. I'm not sure if that captured your full question or not.
All right. Mr. Mastin.
Mr. Chair, excuse me. I'm not unsympathetic to the unknowns that come with CEC and with the problems of not yet knowing every piece of information that we would like to. But I have to say that I heard someone this morning complimenting this board based upon the fact that things are better now than they were some 40-plus years ago when we were formed. And because of that, I'm looking at what do we do. The question is, should we stymie the process at this point, or should we approve this resolution? And my personal feeling is that we will undoubtedly discover some information in the future that will make us change the course of whatever we're doing here today. Certainly, things like DDT in our past have done that. However, to not go forward simply says that we stymie the process. We continue to make what are, I think, arguably illegal discharges. We lose the possibility of a lot of good BMPs, and I don't see that we gain anything by doing that. And so for those reasons, I will ask and give you a motion to adopt Resolution R12009-004 and do that as a motion, and then also ask that we as a board be updated, particularly on the CEC stuff. I know that we will be, but I am making a specific request that we get that with respect to the recycle policy. And so I would give you a motion, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion? Any board comments? I would ask one question on page 4 of the resolution that speaks to the iterative BMP process, and that's a term that I've heard recently, and it's the first time I've run into it, and I've run into iterative maybe 4 or 5 times since.
Synchronicity.
And you thought it was a misspelling.
Somewhat related to. So I'm just curious how we're defining that phrase, iterative BMP process.
I think in the stormwater context, it means continue to improve and employ new BMPs as they become available in order to meet the end goal. So it's continuing to improve the process and utilizing new and redesigned BMPs. But it probably has a more formal definition that I'm not aware of.
Another term that they use is adaptive management. So the idea that you're constantly updating as you're getting feedback about what's working and what's not.
All right. Anybody else? We have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We'll go to item 11.